if we can get out of the way of being in that dissemination of information mode and remove ourselves from that middle position and focus on value adding, then we're going to have a huge amount of value, more value we've ever given our customers before, and be even more relevant than we've ever been in the past.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Toop and Toop are widely known throughout the industry, not just for innovation, marketing and communication, but also for customer service, quality assurance and business excellence. My guest on the show today is our Mayushi Coverstory. She's the CEO of Property Investment and Finance for the company with $1 billion of residential property under management. It's a big warm welcome to the show, Susanna Toop.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome, actually. You guys have been on my radar for a while because Toop and Toop is such an amazing office in Adelaide and has a lot of history. So your parents, Anthony and Sylvia, founded the agency back in 1985, which means you've basically grown up in a real estate family. What was that like?
You're right. Mum and Dad started the business about 35 years ago, and very much I remember as a kid around the dinner table, I mean, being a family business, it was something that where we very much grew up around real estate from the very beginning. I remembered a lot of conversations around the dinner table about business or about real estate. Did a lot of letterbox drops in my time walking up and down the streets with Mum and my sister Jen. And we've even got photographs of us. I think I'm about 3 or 4 years old and Jen's about 6. And we're putting on sold stickers on the signboards. So it's something where I think real estate, it is very much work, life is so blended. And as kids, we very much grew up all around it and loved it. And we had such an amazing team. Some of our team members remember us when we were very little and around the office. So yeah, it's been many decades and it's been really great to be back and involved very much hands-on in the business in these last 7.5 years.
It's an amazing story because I read somewhere that you studied law and commerce at university and you were even admitted as a lawyer into the Supreme Court. Did you have different ambitions at the time?
So I think very much as a family, we have a lot of open and transparent conversations. So growing up, when we were looking at, you know, subject choices in year 11 and year 12 and through university as well, we very much had open dialogue about the business. And Mum and Dad were like, look, it'd be great for us to know if at some stage you did see yourself in the business or if, I mean, I'm not very musically talented at all, but I'm sure if I wanted to go and be a guitar player or a singer, they would be unbelievably supportive of that career choice as well. But both Jen and I always had a very strong interest in getting back into the family business. But we also did want to go and do something beforehand to bring those skills back into the business when we would come back in. So it was very much a sort of ongoing conversation when we were younger. And then when we sort of made that decision to come back into the business back in 2012, we then got straight back into it and really got hands-on in the business. So it was something where we did imagine always coming back in. It was just when the right time came to be.
How did you know it was the right time?
So for us, we had planned that Jen was going to be coming back into the business late 2012. And for me at the time, I was working over in Sydney, having studied, as you mentioned, a law degree, commerce degree, and was being admitted as a lawyer. And I was studying in, at the time as well as working in a property funds management company over at AMP Capital in Sydney. And so for me, I was probably going to be there in Sydney for 5 years all up. My sister had spent some time over in London working in real estate as well as marketing. But for us, it was a bit of a sudden transition. It certainly wasn't as we had planned. We sort of call it succession on steroids because Dad actually was diagnosed with esophageal cancer in May 2012, which sort of brought forward succession for us quite quickly. As I mentioned, though, that we were very much keen to be coming back into the business, but it sort of did happen quite suddenly for us, given the circumstances with Dad's health. He's great now. He's been given the fit bill of health. And so he got out the other end, thankfully, of quite a serious cancer there where he was diagnosed all those years ago now. But yeah, so for us, it certainly didn't go as planned in terms of returning to the business. But looking back now, I think the way in which we were able to come back, help Mum run the business while Dad was having treatment and had a team really rally behind both Jen and I, it was something where I think coming back in all those years ago, we've learned a lot and the learning curve was incredibly steep, but it has been great to be back in the business for 7.5 years now. And I was 23 at the time, my sister was 25, so we were quite young and quite green. But I do think that our leadership style has developed over that time to be very much about the team and what do they need. And there's certainly a lot of lessons that were learned given the way in which we were thrown into the business.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you think the biggest lesson was?
I think the importance of having an incredible team. I'd come from a graduate role at AMP Capital and it was sort of very much about the tasks I was doing. I was incredibly junior in a big, big business. And it was all about, it used to be all about what I would do in my day and what I could achieve or tick off a list or deliver to a fund manager. And then coming back into the business being quite young, but also managing a team of, we have 110 people across property management, sales and our technology business. And it very much became all about, well, how do we deliver back either solutions or value add items for our team members and for our customers? We certainly never came back into the business to be like, well, we know everything about real estate. So, you know, come follow me because we've done this for decades. It was a very different style of coming back in to lead the team. And I think that that served us very well now moving forward over the years that we have led the team because it's always been about how do we help our team? How do we develop them and ensure they've got everything they need to really thrive and succeed?
When you and Jen came back into the business, did you have to win the team over? Because they were probably thinking, uh-oh, this is a really big change. Like these girls haven't been in the business for a while. How did you win them over?
Obviously, we personally as a family went through a lot with Dad's sickness, but we also very much knew that our entire team was going through that as well. So some of the things that we did looking back now was really big on transparency. So we started up something we now still do today, which is a Sunday update, where we just tell it how it is. We say, this is what's happening in the business. And back then it was a lot about Dad's health and we wanted to make sure that they were a part of this and very, very open with what was going on. So that was sort of one thing that we put in place. But I think also just having real conversations, they could see that we wanted to do what was best for them, what was best for the business. And I think also just working our, excuse the language, but asses off. Like we really, you know, we really just got in there, rolled our sleeves up and got amongst it. And I think when they could see that we were here to run alongside them and help them, that really did change. If there was any sort of ideas of they haven't done this before or, you know, and being so young as well and not having that decades of experience, I think that we very much led by example with our work ethic and delivering back solutions to the team. You know, they very much rallied behind our family, which was just amazing.
Absolutely. So people come to visit your office from all different groups, even our Street MBA group from different countries. And some of the things that you guys do are just incredible, like the Innovation Lab, Tube Village, and all the wellness initiatives. Talk me through how those have developed over the years, starting with maybe the Innovation Lab, because that's been going for quite a while now.
Yeah, it has. So I think for us, we see the workplace is changing. We very much see that work and life is very blended, particularly in real estate. It can be 24/7 at times. And so when Jen and I came back into the business, we really wanted to make sure that the workplace would reflect that new way of working, that new style. And I think we sort of made sure like if there was a place and an environment where we wanted to come in and spend a lot of time and it was very inviting as opposed to going into a lift and hitting level 15 in a high-rise building. You know, the traditional workplace is quite sterile. It's like pods and cubicles and it's certainly not creative and collaborative. And I think we wanted to create an environment where it would be inviting for people to come in and that they could really ensure that, yes, they could excel in their careers, but also that they were supported more generally with wellness and our creche as well. Because we know how, and as a family business as well, we know how much people's families are a part of the work as well. It's not just the one individual that comes through those doors every morning. And so this sort of started back really off the back of Dad's health. Was the first initiative we put in place was the wellness centre, because Dad could see that Jen and I were falling into the same sort of habits he was, sort of eating lunch on the run at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, sort of running up to Subway and thinking that was a healthy option. And, you know, he sort of, even though hasn't been diagnosed, he believes that a lot of the eating habits of being a very busy and successful real estate agent certainly didn't help his diagnosis with his cancer. And he didn't want us to be going and falling into those same traps that he had developed over many years. So the wellness center, we wanted to bring that into the business and have it not just for our family, but to open that up to the entire team so that they could ensure they knew as a priority that they can put their health and wellness first. And we do have a physical wellness center at our Toop Village, but we have a full-time wellness coach as well. So yes, you can pump iron and you can do a HIIT class or a boxing class or a yoga class, but it's also about mindfulness and mindset, because I think stress and managing that is a big thing moving forward. I think it's already quite a large part of the workplace and trying to manage how you fit everything in. Life is so busy these days. So we're just very fortunate that our wellness coaches have got a lot of background in the technical sort of physical training components, but also more of a holistic wellness approach as well. And then to your question about the innovation lab, that has been something that we have had. Innovation has been something as part of our business from day dot. The reason Anthony and Sylvia, mum and dad, started the business was because Dad thought, you know what, I think that there's better ways that things can be done. And all those years ago, when he started things, that was what created Toop and Toop. And I think today it's still true as ever around pushing things forward, really challenging the norm and seeing if there is a better way. And we've had a software developer as part of our business for about 15 to 20 years. So back well before it was the cool thing to have software developers on board. But that role was a contractor role, sort of sat a bit adjacent to our business. And over the years, that's developed to having one full-time programmer on staff, to two, to three, to now six. So we do build a lot of our own technology in-house. We see that, yes, if there's great innovations off the shelf and products, we will bring them in, because you can't build everything. Speed is really important. But if there is a product that we think we need to make specifically because it addresses the real pain points or the needs of either our team or our customer, we'll build that in-house and then roll that out to the team and to the public. So innovation has always been a large part of what we do, and that's certainly where our tech team are based at Toop Village as well. And the Toop Creche is an initiative that we put in place about 4 years ago now. So both the creche and the wellness centre are complementary to our team, and we have a full-time creche manager as well as a physical creche on site. And we have team members that are able to utilise that in and around their childcare, so that we know that that was a big issue and has been a big issue for a number of years with parents trying to find care for children and wanting to return to work either a few days a week or full time, and they just haven't been able to get childcare. So we really wanted to ensure that we could provide options for team members who are wanting a career in real estate, whether that's sales or property management or technology or any of our roles, and that they could really utilize the support in our creche manager.
So it sounds like everyone is so well looked after. I mean, I wouldn't want to leave. Do you find now that these things are all in place that it has helped with things like staff turnover and stuff like that? Does it retain people better?
Absolutely. I think that you come to Toop and Toop because you are getting that full support. It's definitely not people coming into our workplace for a job. I mean, of course, there's a job to be done, but that real connections, even amongst the team members, as well as the physical sort of amenities that we have, it's just amazing to see relationships that are forming across all different sides of the business, sales team members with property managers, with our technology guys. It's really brought the whole business cohesively together, because we do run a lot of, we have barbecues, we have wellness cooking classes on a Friday, the last Friday of every month. You know, we bring a lot of the team together more holistically as opposed to just having it as a work site. And I think that that's been amazing, and we've seen that it's been amazing for retention and also to attract amazing talent to the business.
I think it must attract a lot of people in, because I mean I saw the guys doing some yoga when they're on Street MBA. They were sort of sticking everything on Instagram, and I was like, wow, that looks amazing. I wish I was there.
It is. And it's, I mean, we've got classes run 6:30 in the morning. We've got them over, couple classes over lunchtime, as well as in the afternoon after work. We've got change rooms, hair dryers, hair straighteners, towel service. So you really can come and just embrace the whole offering that the Toop Village and our business provides. It becomes more of a lifestyle to where you choose to work. It's, you really do get swept up in the culture and the team and the support from the business, but also within the team at a peer-to-peer level.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of looking after the team, we're in the thick of a coronavirus crisis worldwide, the pandemic that's going on. How are you looking after the team, or how is Toop and Toop looking after the team given the current situation?
It's such uncharted waters at the moment. Quite a bit of uncertainty out there, understandably. So our executive team has been very closely monitoring the World Health Organization, SA Health here in Adelaide as well, as I'm sure many people are, just to see, because it seems to be almost changing by the day. So we put in place a number of measures starting this week, which we let our team know about last week. So one of these is that our property management team is working from home. So we went fully to the cloud July last year. So our team members are already working from coffee shops, from their home, from their very much remote working on laptops wherever they like. They can come into the village to work, or they can work from their favourite coffee shop because they love the coffee there and they feel inspired in that particular setting. So we are just drawing on now, making sure that people, that's the preference, is that people are not in the office. And we're fortunate that we did a lot of that heavy lifting mid last year. We moved away from the server-based programs and could really ensure that that flexibility was there for 2020. And it just happens now with what's happened with the coronavirus that we've been able to draw on that flexibility and that mobileness so that we can combat what's happening at the moment. With our sales team, we put out notifications to the public about attending open inspections. And if the member of a public was uncomfortable with sort of attending in a such a sort of open or ability to sort of bump into people from the public, they might want it. They may not feel safe and secure doing that at this stage or over the coming weeks, that they're then able to use a lot of our digital tools online to still view the property. So whether that's our VR technology or, you know, we've got 3D floor plans, walkthrough tours, videos, so that we very much said, look, we're still open for business. It's just that you may be viewing the properties in a more digital way as opposed to traditionally walking through the open homes. So I think we'll just continue to monitor it as we go. And we're just very conscious to be making sure our team's safety and that they're feeling very comfortable, but also the public as well, given it's just such an unknown at the moment. But we're still very aware that transactions can still take place. We're very positive about the market as a whole, given that what's going on with the stock market and the sort of crashes that have been occurring there. We are positive that if people are going to be investing, they're going to be coming to bricks and mortar, to property, to be doing so. So it's just a bit of a monitoring it now just to see if any further measures need to be put in place.
Yeah, and I guess this might be a good time to circle back to the technology side of things with Toop and Toop. So I imagine that, you know, you said you did a lot of the heavy lifting last year in moving from a server-based environment to a cloud-based environment. What are some of the things that the developers have been working on over the last 12 months to make sure that everyone can work from wherever?
So a big thing for us, we actually had 33 servers. It's when you sort of dive into it, which we did last year in the planning, I thought we might have had, I don't know, 10 or 15, but we were quite shocked with how many physical servers we've had over the years. And I think for us, a big thing and one of the trends that we're seeing, I think right across the board in any business, is we're really trying to shed a lot of the legacy layers that have happened over, in our case, 35 years. We've always been a very innovative business. So, you know, we've always been looking at new ways to do things, but when you actually peel back the layers quite a bit, you're like, wow, there's actually some things that we made decisions 20 years ago or 25 years ago, and no one's ever thought to sort of go unwind them. And I heard from Patrick Delaney, who's the CEO of Foxtel, about a year ago, and he was saying about how they're obviously combating your Netflix and the streaming services. And he was talking about they've got satellites in the sky. And I'm thinking, my goodness, like, what's our version of a satellite in the sky that we might need to get out of action and get a lot more, like, simplify our business structure from a technology point of view, from a process point of view? Because if we don't do it, there's a lot of things that will continue to hang around in our business, and we're not going to be able to be nimble, quick, and deliver efficient service to customers, because it'll be bogging us down and we won't have that speed and that agileness. So from a technology point of view, in July last year, we really turned every stone over and said, like, is this a decision that we made many years ago? And do we still need to be doing it this way? And if the answer is like, oh, I don't think so, we could probably do it a better way, then we had to make the big and sometimes quite tough call to invest, to shed that out of the business, just so that we could keep being freed up to deliver that really quick, efficient service to customers. So for us, technology, there's the fun technology, which is the apps and the, you know, all the kind of great, cool, fun stuff that you hear about. There's also a layer of technology, which is kind of more the boring layer, which is, oh my God, what's our infrastructure like? What's our servers like? Which we found, we've got quite a number. And starting there, it's because that's your platform and your base to be able to then be more efficient and deliver that service, because the apps are great and we built a lot of them as well, but we really had to dive a little deeper just to make sure that we weren't going to be lethargic and slow to move from a server and infrastructure point of view.
I also remember I saw you speak at PMLR last year, obviously, and it was just a really great insight into the company and all of that sort of thing. I remember you saying that you were on a mission to get rid of email, or to really reduce email. So can you tell us a bit about that and how you managed to achieve it?
Yeah. So when I came back into our business mid-2012, particularly in the property management side of things, I noticed there were a lot of frenetic people walking around. You would sort of walk into our sales side of the building and people were high-fiving when a new listing happened, and it was high energy and it was, you know, really pumped up and a great environment. You turn right and go through into our property management side, and the word growth would make people shudder. It would be like the worst word possible. And I'm going, my goodness, like, we should be like, what's going on here? How come a new BDM's brought in 3 new listings? This is a great thing. But I learned very quickly that the underlying inefficiencies that was happening below the surface was what was causing a lot of angst in property managers. And what was sort of happening is, previously, they'd sort of be told, be less stressed. And it's like, well, unless we actually find out what's going on, that's kind of not super helpful when someone's like, well, look, I'd love to be less stressed, but have you seen what's going on in my inbox or on my phone with voicemails coming in like crazy? So after hearing that it was quite full on, and the sort of gut feel, or chatting to team members, they were saying they were getting a lot of traffic through their emails. In November 2013, I decided to jump in and actually in detail analyze what was going on in the inbox. We were finding that our team were getting 3,300 emails a day.
Wow.
A huge, huge number. 900 of these were to do with maintenance. So that was the biggest amount of inefficiencies that was going on. The second one was lease renewals and the way in which manually you'd have to chase these up to extend leases. And I pretty much charted it out, and that formed our roadmap of where we were going to focus in our technology to get underlying efficiencies back into the business, because there was no way that our team could function and even talk about value add to our customers, which I know is where we needed to be. But until we actually cleared a lot of those emails out and got some real efficiencies back into the business, they couldn't even think straight. I wanted to put in some really cool portfolio snapshot returns where we would chart, you know, income versus expenses. And the team were just like, this is crazy. Like, I'm happy to do that for you, but unless you're happy for me to get another 5 complaints today because I can't get back to my emails, like, it's got to be one or the other. And so we sort of paused a lot of the value add conversations and thought, let's dive in and just get these emails under control. And then we can look to do all of that value add things for our customers. And so with our technology that we built, our first app was our maintenance app to address the biggest issue we were seeing. And we reduced email traffic by 73%. So we then started there, and the next app we launched was lease renewals, and we were able to reduce traffic again. So that was a huge, quite a whirlwind walking into that kind of environment. But in terms of the efficiencies that we knew we needed to get into in place, because our customer service was dropping, we were having no real referrals from our sales team into our property management business because the team were just not coping to keep up with the volume of work. So we really had to rethink things and get, underlying efficiencies would be an absolute key recommendation to anyone. If you're finding that there's a sort of frenetic nature in property management, likelihood is your team are getting overwhelmed with email traffic. and voicemails and phone calls. By the time they sort of return one phone call, they've got another three, you know, voicemails flashing up on their screen. And that's unfortunately not uncommon in property management at the moment, given how consumer expectations are rising around instant communication.
Yeah, so the apps basically allow the consumer to self-serve in a way, like they can log their maintenance request and there's not the emails going backwards and forwards saying, have you booked a tradie? When's the tradie coming? Or that sort of thing. It's all online.
That's exactly right. So we've got the ability for tenants to self-diagnose issues. So we prompt them to check if the safety switch is tripped. Maybe it's just rinse aid in a dishwasher that needs to be put in, and that's why they might be experiencing issues with a dishwasher. Batteries in the remote control. These are all things that we were before the app getting requests through. And it also, so it helps tenants diagnose the issue. It also then categorizes them and helps follow up with the AI behind the scenes, according to how urgent the job is. And it does all of that follow up with the trades for you, which is where the email traffic reduced. And more generally, our apps, because that was back in 2014, we launched that. The app now is full live data on anything that's happening with your property. So now landlords are able to jump onto that app and see a live stream of transactions. So they no longer have to wait till the end of month to receive a statement. They can go in and see that today we're processing water invoices or that the rent's been paid. So we're doing a live stream, and data is a really big factor for us because we know consumers are wanting live intel at the push of a button and in a time that they want to receive the information. So that live stream of data is the sort of next big push for us with our technology.
So sort of like internet banking, but, you know, so you log on to your bank and you can see what's going on there, but, you know, instead you're looking at your property as the asset rather than your bank account.
Exactly right. And that's where it's all heading, to be able to have that live information as opposed to waiting till the end of the month. I think that looking to whether it's a banking world, whether it's Uber or Uber Eats, these are the trends that are coming down the line and where we believe the technology needs to be in real estate.
Interesting. I guess that brings me to my next question, because something else that you mentioned at the PMLR conference that I was really intrigued in is the role of the real estate agent in the future. So where do you and Toop and Toop see the role of the real estate agent or the property manager heading in the future?
So I was fortunate enough to have coffee with Alan Noble, the previous director of Google Australia. And I will never forget it because it was a few years ago now. And I sort of asked him, he knew I was in real estate. And I said, look, where do you see it as head of Google? Where do you think real estate is heading? And he just looked at me and I'll never forget it. And he just said, well, you know, the intermediary is dead. And I was like, oh, he does know I'm in property management, right? Like that has been our role for the last 30 years, has been this intermediary between the tenants, the landlords and the tradespeople. And I think it was probably the information I needed to hear, because it wasn't so much that that means, in our view, that property managers or salespeople are no longer going to be needed. We're certainly going to be and playing a very important part moving forward in the future. But what it did mean to me is that if we are only in a role whereby we receive information and we then disseminate it out, and that's the only real focus of our role as that intermediary position, then we're going to really struggle to keep up with where our customers need us to be. So what he was, I think, saying, and this is where I've had conversations with him since, is if we can get out of the way of being in that dissemination of information mode and remove ourselves from that middle position and focus on value adding, then we're going to have a huge amount of value, more value we've ever given our customers before, and be even more relevant than we've ever been in the past. And the only way we can step out of that middle position is if the technology allows the free flow of information. So if our property managers, for example, are clicking on their computer and processing arrears and doing their day-to-day job, and instantly landlords and tenants are being updated, they're not then having to do that next step of, I better go and tell the landlord I've processed those disbursements, or I better go and tell the tenant that I've got the tradesperson out to have a look at their leaking tap. It has to happen automatically. And when we start to do that, we really free up our property managers or our sales team to add even more value and do new roles than what we've never done before, like helping landlords buy new property or doing renovations. And there's a whole new world that opens up, but we just need to get to that point as soon as possible, because if we continue to define our roles as being in that sending out information and updates, then a platform is going to come out that's going to be able to do that for us. And that's where the risk is if we don't adapt and if we don't change.
I've heard some theories out there too that real estate agents may become like a community hub in the future. Is that where you see Toop Village heading, is that it is a community hub for people to come together for all things real estate, not just necessarily renting a property or buying a property?
I think that's definitely a trend coming down the line. We've traditionally been very transactional based. So we've either in property management collected the rent and passed it on to a landlord, or in sales, we've facilitated the sheer buying of a property. I think that when you start to zoom up and say, well, when we're looking at these value add areas, where does the community need us to be and how do we add even more value? And I think that's what's so exciting, because the transaction will be taken care of. It's like, of course we help you buy a house, or of course we help you rent out your home. It's just, what more can we be doing? We're dealing with people in their homes. We can help them add greater returns to their investment properties. We can really take a proactive approach. And I think by opening up our doors to the community and really being involved more broadly, it's only going to be a huge upside. But we still have to do the basics of what it means to be in real estate and then move into the community side of things. Because if we're too in the community and, you know, and sort of not ensuring the day-to-day transactions is taken care of, people will be like, oh, look, that's really nice that you've opened up your offices, but could you just help me sell my house? So we have to make sure we're doing both. But I think it's definitely heading in the right direction.
So I have to congratulate you guys, because you are being inducted into the REI Hall of Fame for a second time this year as Large Residential Agency of the Year. And basically, you guys have been at the front of all of the awards for as long as I can remember, you know, with Real Estate Results Network and Sally Cameron at the Areas and the REIA Awards. Like, you're recognized as someone in the industry, definitely, or a group in the industry that's right ahead of the game. And congratulations on that. That's, you know, for a business that's been going for 35 years, that's amazing. I guess I want to end this with a bit of tactical advice from you for other real estate agents who might be thinking, oh, okay, what's next for me? So is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, thank you. We very much do. We love being a part of the awards. We do really ensure that every year we're thinking about how do we keep pushing forward. A year can go very quickly. So I think, you know, for us, we treat the awards, whilst they can be very nerve-wracking, we do treat them as an ability to keep ensuring every year we can try and deliver something new to our customer or to our team. And we just feel very fortunate that we've been in that position to be able to be entered into the Hall of Fame again this year. And we've just got such an incredible team that have made it possible. So feel very fortunate to be working with such an amazing group of people. In terms of any like sort of practical tips, or perhaps I might even share more so some trends that we see coming down the line and ones that we're certainly keeping an eye on. The first one, and there's five of them that we're really keeping an eye on as we're into 2020 and beyond. The first one is, we believe that a big area is going to be that we need to be building trust through transparency. So one example of that would be about that live stream of information to landlords. I think traditionally real estate agents have held back information. I think that's sort of how the role has been in the past, where we would hold everything and then that would be our position of value in the exchange. But we do believe that consumers now are expecting live information, full transparency of what's happening, and that will only help build trust between your brand and the customer. The second big one is simplicity and removing friction points at any area or every area in the transaction. Because if something is clunky, consumers won't put up with it anymore. If you're going to have an app, it's got to be a beautiful app that is easy to use, as opposed to something that is clunky and confusing, because you'd prefer not to use anything than being forced to use something that is not enjoyable or not easy. And I think that that's a huge one. Simplicity at a customer level for the way in which we deliver service, but also simplicity, as I mentioned before, the sort of less fun version of it, which may be a lot of infrastructure changes underneath the surface, below the iceberg, within your business as well. The third one is that we believe people will continue to trade dollars for time, which means they will outsource more items than they ever have before. You see that with the Airtasker, or there's a lot of the time where people are very time poor and they would prefer to have someone else do the job than themselves. which is great news for real estate agencies because they would prefer to someone to sell their house for them instead of your DIY. Same with renting and a rental property. But the exception there is if they believe they can do it better themselves because you're not offering a great service, then they won't stand for letting someone do it at a subpar level. If you're going to take it on, you've got to be making sure you're doing it at a high, high level. Otherwise, they will prefer to do it yourself. The fourth would be access and not necessarily ownership. By that, I mean things like the renting and the subscription economy, I think will continue to be a big factor at play, which is great news again for property management because renting and the idea that you don't necessarily own where you're living, but you're renting and you can be transient. And as your needs change, you can rent somewhere else. I believe that that's going to be an increasingly important area of our business. And it may even be that people rent for 37 days or, you know, and just weird timeframes as opposed to your usual 12-month lease. And the final one would be experiences and not transactions. So I think that, as I mentioned before, the transaction is just a given. We will help you sell your house. We will help you manage your property. It's about what's the experience that's going to be wrapped around that because people will be expecting that as opposed to just your basic, we helped you sell your house, we helped you manage your property. So I think that overarchingly, the most important bit of advice I would give would be to do something to just get and just dive in and not be, I mean, I'm a perfectionist most times and that's something I'm working on, but I do think that perfection can get in the way of taking action. And given we're in a time where we do need to evolve, doing something is better than nothing and having a crack and a go at changing something as opposed to seizing up and not taking any sort of action. I think that's the biggest trap we can fall into is doing nothing.
Well, I think your story is definitely inspirational coming into the business so young and, you know, and making so many changes and adding so much value to both the team and to the community. I think it's incredibly inspirational. So I think if everyone doesn't, you know, remember anything else from this, it's just have a crack. I think that's amazing. What's next for Toop and Toop? What do you think the next 12 months holds?
The next 12 months for us, we've got a lot on the go. We've got simplifying things, continuing to simplify things will be right up there at the top of the list. We're taking a lot of inspiration from companies like Amazon. So one of their goals is to improve efficiencies 5% year on year, which is no small feat when they're already delivering products in a 24-hour timeframe. So I think we're just going back and looking at every process, every procedure, and if 10 steps can be 6 or be automated, we're just shortening every area of the business that we can so that we can deliver more for less. So the more efficient we are, the more that we can draw on amazing technology. We've already got incredible people, so we underpin that with amazing technology that does a lot of the grunt work, a lot of the processing, a lot of the administration. Then we really will be working towards that ability to be nimble, quick, and ensuring that we can deliver a service and do more than we've ever done before for less than what we've ever charged.
Amazing. Susanna, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us on the podcast. I'm sure that a lot of listeners are going to get a lot out of listening to some of your story and particularly the ideas on trends and things like that, because they're definitely things that we're seeing from a top level as well. But I guess if there was one thing that you would like to leave everyone with, what would it be?
Just being incredibly excited about our amazing industry. There's a lot of change. Change can be scary, but just I think stick with it. It's an incredible industry that we're in. And just as I said before, doing something and drawing on people, if you're not 100% sure, drawing on other people, pick their brains, find out what they're doing and just keep moving forward. To stay still is something which I would ensure that we're constantly as an industry moving forward, given the times and given where we really need to get to in the next few years. I think that that's something that as an industry, we can really support each other and bounce off each other to ensure that we keep moving forward as a whole.
Amazing. Susanna Toop, thank you so much.
Thanks, Samantha.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.